We love bees. We talk about them often. And with World Bee Day tomorrow, we thought we'd better check in. They help produce a third of our food supply. They help provide one half of the world's fibres, oils and other raw materials. They help create many medicines. They provide food for wildlife. And they help prevent soil erosion. And it seems that a lot of people are onto their secrets and have caught the beekeeping bug. Hives are popping up in backyards around the country. Apiarist Paul Martin is a very experienced hobbyist beekeeper from Whangarei and is also on the APNZ board. He joins us now. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Jesse. How's it going?
Good. What sort of increase are we talking about? Have you noticed more people getting hives in their backyards?
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm involved with the Whangarei Bee Club and we have an endless stream of new members coming that have never had hives before, interested in having a few hives, and the national stats tell a story. There's a lot of small-time beekeepers now.
What do people tell you about why they want to do it?
I think there's a bit of a mix. I think certainly through COVID there's been quite a move, and your previous caller was sort of alluding to it a bit, move to back to basics, looking after a bit of your own food a bit more than perhaps we had got used to. And I think that's certainly a driver for some people. And it's just a really addictive hobby. So people have friends that get bees and then they get a little bit of interest, you know, go and look at the hives and then suddenly, oh, that's kind of cool. And then they want a hive of their own, which is all great, providing they look after it.
Yeah. How long have you been doing it for?
Oh, I was beekeeping in the 90s, pre-Varroa, and then I had a wee break, and then probably for about the last 15 years again, yeah.
What's the appeal for you?
I just find them incredibly fascinating creatures. Yeah, it's actually quite, obviously it's not my main source of income, so I do non-bee related things a lot of the time, and it's actually quite therapeutic to go into your hive at the weekend and just play with your bees, so to speak. They're incredibly fascinating, and the more you learn about them, the more you become fascinated by them. So, yeah, and you get free honey.
Yeah. Has it changed much since the 90s when you started?
It's a lot harder.
Is it?
Varroa? Yep. No, Varroa mite is... Yeah, I don't think you'll find many beekeepers that don't dread Varroa mite and, rue the day it came in, because it certainly made beekeeping a lot harder. So, yeah, our bees rely on us now to keep them alive due to Varroa, which is a bit disappointing, but we live with it.
Yeah. How much honey do you produce? How many hives have you got?
I've only got a couple of hives, so... Not a lot, and I leave a lot of the honey on the hives for my bees, so I really just take what we need. So, but, I mean, 10 or 20 kilos is a lot of honey.
Yeah.
You can get that from one hive, so that sort of does a family like mine for a wee while.
I've got a question that's come in from somebody, and I'd love to know your answer. It's from Andrew. A nearby neighbour recently had a number of beehives placed on their property, and we're in the flight path, and our cars and the windows of our houses are covered in sticky yellow bee poo. Is there a safe, easy way to remove bee poo from windows and cars? Abrasive scrubbing works, but it's time-consuming and potentially dangerous for neighbours with two-storey houses. Any ideas?
As soon as bee poo dries, it is, as he says, quite hard to get off. I think they should go and have a chat with the beekeeper, because certainly there are ways to modify or dictate to some extent the bee's flight path.
Huh.
It may be as simple as just reorientating the entrances of the hives. Obviously, it depends how many are there, but I take it, it's probably in an urban setting if there's multiple houses there. So, that's their first port of call. They should talk to the beekeeper, because it's not a new problem, but can normally be alleviated by either altering where where their flight path is, or forcing the bees to go higher early by placing a barrier near the entrance to their hives, so that rather than coming out on a slow rising trajectory, they actually have to come out and go up quite fast.
Ah, interesting.
The more dispersed their poo will be.
Do you get a break this time of year as the weather gets colder?
Yeah, certainly. Most beekeepers will be wintering down their hives, now, or I live obviously in the warmer part of New Zealand, so the bees are still a little bit active, but we're definitely wintering down our hives, so you try not to open them much over the winter, so you're making sure they've got enough stores and that they're healthy and that you've taken out your varroa treatments, and then pretty much put them to bed for winter and spend the winter just making sure they've still got enough food.
Yeah, food. Anything you'd like to say to the people listening about flowers and how they can help bees out?
Planting bee-friendly flowers is absolutely great. You'd be amazed what flowers the bees like. I mean, anything with obvious pollen on its stamens mostly will attract bees. Anyone with a garden will know the plants that tend to be covered in bees, but, you know, things as common as camellias and lavender and rosemary and lemon trees, bees love. And then I guess the other thing, other than providing more food sources for the bees, is if you are spraying, and particularly spraying insecticides in your garden or orchard, then if you can do it either when they're not flowering or else when the plants aren't flowering, or else do it late in the day or early in the morning when the bees aren't foraging, you'll look after the bee population a lot
better.
Oh, that's
a good one, yeah. In general, the more beekeepers, the better?
Within reason. We obviously, every population has a carrying capacity, and we don't want to get beyond that. There is quite a bit of research at the moment around trying to work out what that is. At the end of the day, hobbyist beekeepers aren't likely to probably blow that population out. But the other thing is we want responsible beekeepers. We don't want people getting into it because it's a fad and then losing interest and neglecting their hives, because that doesn't help any of us, and is a major worry for disease spread for those of us that still have bees. So, yeah, we want plenty of people beekeeping, but we want them to be responsible, register their hives, look after their hives, learn enough about beekeeping to make sure that they're playing their part in the industry.
And I guess being connected to your organisation would be the best way of doing that. What would be a first step for someone who wanted to get bees?
So first step, if you haven't had bees before, would be to look up your local beekeeping club. If you go on the APNZ, Apiculture New Zealand website, there's a list of bee clubs throughout New Zealand, and that way you can learn the basics before you get a hive and obviously develop a support network, and you may well be able to buy your first hive through the contact you get there. Certainly every new beekeeper needs to register as a beekeeper with the AFB, Pest Management Agency. If you Google AFB, that will come up. And that's a legal requirement to be registered as a beekeeper. And then, yes, we'd love everyone to be members of Apiculture New Zealand. There's a number of member benefits available, including to hobbyists. And so, absolutely, we want them to be members of APNZ.
Hey, nice one. Good to talk to you, Paul. Very nice to have you on the show, and happy to have you on any time. Thanks so much.
Awesome. Thanks, Jesse.
Paul Martin on the APNZ board, an experienced hobbyist beekeeper from Whangarei.